Good morning and welcome everybody to St. Andrew's this morning. It's lovely to see you all. We've already had a very busy early bird service this morning where we had a good number of the children. So we've got slightly less, always slightly less on early bird Sundays. But a really big welcome to you, particularly if you are new and visiting, and do say hi to us at the end. And if you're watching online as well, later on in the week, a really big welcome to you as well. A few notices as we begin. Tonight, our evening service at the 6, we have our tradecraft stall coming back, and that's going to be this month and I think next month as well. So if you want to come along, there'll be a different sermon at the 6 today, just extra incentive to come, but also come with some money to come and buy goods from the tradecraft stall. On Wednesday, Wednesday is our monthly waiting room, which happens at our sister church up at All Saints, which is an hour of just quiet before God. There's a little bit of an introduction. There's sort of about 40 minutes of just sitting in silence and encountering God. If you've never been before, then, you know, that is a great place to find peace and rest and some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about this morning. So why don't you go and try? You don't have to stay for the whole hour. You can just stay for as much as you want. But that's this Wednesday, 7 till 8, up at All Saints. Just a bit of advance notice. On the 2nd of October is when we're going to celebrate harvest here at St. Andrew's this year. As well as having an all-age harvest service in the morning, there's going to be a harvest song of praise and cream tea in the afternoon, and there are some leaflets, I think, on the welcome desk if there's somebody that you might like to invite to bring along for that. Just be half an hour of hymns, and then we're going to have a cream tea together too. So just a bit of advance warning of that. And also, just in a few weeks' time, our next Ignite, which is where we get a key national speaker coming to Malvern, and churches together in Malvern put on this special event. And we've got a lady called Ruth Valerio coming, who's an expert on environmental issues and climate change and theology. And that's going to be on Wednesday, the 5th of October, Lansdowne. All of that information is on your mailings. So do have a look at those. But a few things we particularly wanted to highlight to you. If you are new to us and are not getting our mailings currently, then if you connect with us by clicking that button on the front of our website, then you can give us your details and we can send you the weekly mailing with news as well and connect up in other ways. I think that's all that we need to think about. We are continuing our series today, looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus. And I wondered whether we could start by just having a little recap of what we've done so far. And I'm wondering whether there are anyone who can guess what's under here. Children particularly, because you've been doing these in your groups as well. So can anyone remember the first I Am saying of Jesus? Jesus said, I am the... Oh, we've got one over there. Bread of life. Well done. Thank you. And here is the only loaf of bread I found in my cupboard this morning. So I am the bread of life. Just remind us that Jesus said he was wanting to provide for our needs. He is the provision. He gives us what we need to sustain us. I am the bread of life. And then last week we did a different one. Who can tell me what we did last week? Anyone? Oh, we've got another one there. Yeah. Yeah, I am the light of the world. And here we have a candle, which I'm going to light to remind us that, you know, Jesus brings light into the darkness of our worlds. He brings comfort. He brings peace. He shows us the way. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. And this week, I brought my gate along. We're going to do I Am the Gate. And Joe's going to be speaking to the adults about this, and the children are going to be looking at that in their groups too. So I'm not going to steal Joe's thunder now, but I've been thinking about gates this week, because we've been seeing gates on television, haven't we? Here's a gate. Where's that gate? Anyone? Yeah, Alfie. Buckingham Palace. Yeah, Buckingham Palace, the gate there. And here's another one. Does anyone know where that gate is? It's in London too. Sky? It's Downing Street. Great. And that, you see, these two gates actually are there to stop people getting to important people, aren't they? That gate there is to stop people getting to the king or the queen. That gate there is to stop people getting to the prime minister and to only let certain people through. But, you know, I think one of the things that Jesus said when he said, I am the gate, one of the things he was saying was that actually I can let you through to the most important person in the world. I can let you through to the King of Kings, to the God of the universe. That actually that gate isn't for us a closed gate, but because of what Jesus did, that gate is open wide. We're not kept far away from God like we are perhaps with royalty or with the prime minister. But actually that gate is open wide for us to come and meet with God today. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever weeks we've had, God's gates are open wide. So I'd love you to stand, and we're going to say this. We're going to say a bit of scripture about gates. It comes from one of the Psalms, Psalm 100. Let's say this together as we come to worship this morning. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Let's say that again. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. And we're going to sing a song now, which Helen's going to come and help the children with the actions. Any other children want to come up to, which speaks of our great God, our King of Kings.
Thank you.
And Lord, we thank you that you are our God, that you are the King of us, that you are beyond mightier than anything we know, that you are stronger than anything else in the world, that you know us and that you love us, and that your gates are open wide this morning to come and meet us. And we pray, Lord, that as we worship you this morning, as we pray, as we hear your words, that you would encounter us deeply, that you would meet us and transform us into the people you've called us to be. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Do take a seat. Now, gates also are for opening and closing, to let people in and out. And we in our churches often will say goodbye to people, or say goodbye to people for a time. And this Sunday is one of those Sundays where actually someone's already gone that I was hoping to interview today. Because he's already on the road, and a few others are already on the road, because some of our young people are going off to university for the first time. Some are off this very day, at this very moment, on their way. And I was hoping George Wharton was going to come and speak this morning and come and share with us, but then he realised he needed to get on the road. But instead, I caught up with him on Thursday and had a little chat. And here is just some of the things that we chatted about our young people going off and what we can pray for them. So here's George.
Well, hi, George. I'm sorry that you can't be here in person as we'd originally planned to share this morning. You'll be on the road by now, but it's great to have a chance to hear from you. Last time you were up front, you were off to Australia. So what are some of the highlights of your time in Australia?
One of the highlights has to be making new friends. There was some, towards the end, I made some really strong friendships. Through church, through Bible studies, and that was such a blessing. By the end, I was reading the Bible with a couple of great guys. I was going to a Wednesday night Bible study with other students, which was such a joy. So that was definitely a highlight for me. Again, stuck in with the football teams, as you probably saw in my newsletters. So those were some real highlights.
And what did you feel you particularly learned, and how did you grow in your faith in that time?
I definitely learned through the highlights of and seeing the importance of fellowship, especially Christian fellowship. But I also learned through some really difficult times. I found it really hard at points, maybe feeling a bit alone. And so actually really turning to God in my loneliness, and seeing that his character is glorified also through my weakness, through where I'm struggling, God is glorified, and that he will hold me fast. So those are some of the things that I really learned and stood out to me.
Great. And by the time we watch this on Sunday morning, you'll be on the road. Where will you be on the way to?
So I'm heading to Oxford Brookes, not Oxford University, don't worry.
And to study?
To study real estate, it's called. It's a very American, but it's basically just going into surveying.
Okay. And the other young people who are off to university for the first time?
Yeah, so there's Matt Spool, there's Ellie Hancock, there's James Myers and Will Levitt.
Great. So how are you feeling as you head off to university? You know, new change again for you. What are you hoping to get stuck into? What are your thoughts?
There's a lot of chop and change at the moment. I'm really excited. I'm going to be living in a house with a few guys that I already know, so that'll be such a blessing. But I'm really excited to get stuck into church, CU, but also other societies where I'll maybe meet non-believers and non-followers of Christ. And I think that'll be really exciting to just make some new friendships. So that's something I'm really looking forward to. And also studying, I should probably say that.
And as we send you guys off, what can we pray for all of you who are starting university and students who are going back, second and third years who are going back? What, how can the church, your church family, pray for you as you head off?
Yeah. Well, firstly, thank you so much for your prayers in Australia. Yeah, they were so powerful, and I could not have done it without all the church family praying. It is so powerful. And I truly believe that for all of the young people heading off, the main prayer would be that we would have people come alongside each one of us to encourage us in our faith, because without others encouraging, the Christian walk of life is extremely hard. And I just pray that every young people heading off, and also those that are already there, would see God's grace and God's forgiveness afresh. I think those would be the main things.
Great. So I really encourage everybody to be praying for our brilliant young people as they go off, that they would be lights in the places that they go onto their new front lines. And we look forward to having you come back and share about how you're doing, George, and all of the rest of you. But you go with our great blessing and our great prayers. Bless you.
And I look around, I can see Hattie there. Hattie, give us a wave. Hattie's going back for your, is it third year, Hattie? Is Kay gone today? No. Okay. And is there anyone else here? No. So we're gonna just pray for our young people as they go off to university. Perhaps those near Hattie might just hold out a hand and pray a special blessing on her. But let's pray now, and then I'm going to pray for the children as they go off to their groups. Lord, we thank you for each of our young people, as they, particularly those ones who are going off to university in these coming days, or those who have already gone. And we want to pray for them at this really special time, that they would connect with really good friends who can just encourage them in their faith journeys. We pray that they would be lights for you in the places that they go, that you would hold them strong to just live your way and with your values. And we pray that this would be a really special time in their lives of growing and of learning who they are, and particularly of learning who they are in you. So we pray your blessing on each one of them. May you go with them and protect them, and may you be their God in these coming years. And as we pray for our children and our pathfinders as they go out to their groups now, we pray special blessing on them, that they would learn more of you this morning, and that they would be encouraged and have great fun too, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Children and pathfinders, we will see you later. Have a fantastic time in your groups. Do head off there now. And while they're going out, you might like to just turn to someone next to you and ask them how their week has been, and find out what's been going on this week. Continue to live in times of turbulence and times of significance and times of change. And I know, you know, in many ways, you know, these are unsettling times. These are times, disorientating times. And they're times when we're reminded again just to do what the psalmist did in times of turbulence, to look up for help and strength, to look up to find our direction, to be still and to know that God's still in charge and that God is in the midst. And as we come to sing again in a moment, of, you know, God being with us in challenging times and of continuing to praise in challenging times. Let's just for a moment pause. And just perhaps in the quietness of our own hearts, just say sorry to God for times this week where we've lost sight of him. Times this week where we haven't heard, listened to his voice. Times this week where we let the fears and uncertainties of life just crowd in, where we've not lived as he called us to live. Let's ask for his grace and his presence once more. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that you are still reigning, that you are in control. And teach us to lift our eyes above the waves and to look to you, our rock and our refuge, our ever-present help in times of trouble. Come and meet us, we pray. Let's stand. Again, just declare what it is that we believe. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to pray now, and Val's going to come and lead us in prayer.
Lord, we come before you in prayer for this world. We start by giving you thanks for the progress in Ukraine in recent days, for the beginning of a retreat by the Russian army and the retaking of some key towns by the Ukrainians. We continue to pray for an end to the war and for peace in that land. We pray for a change of heart in Russia and an end to this pointless aggression and desire for power. We pray for other troubled areas of our world, and particularly for those where women are being oppressed. We hear of the killing of a young woman in Iran for going outside without a head covering. And we hear of Afghan women denied education and jobs. And we say, Lord, intervene. And, in the words of Isaiah the prophet, loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. We also pray for the many parts of the world that are experiencing the effects of climate change. We remember those affected by the floods in Pakistan. Pray that you will provide for them. We lift to you all those in Sudan, Ethiopia, Uganda, Kenya, and Somalia, where they faced several years of drought and crops are failing yet again. Lord, in your mercy, bring rain in the right amounts to save people from starvation. Nearer to home, we continue to pray for our royal family and particularly for the funeral tomorrow. Lord, we pray for your protection on the event and for our police as they manage the enormous crowds and the high security risk. But above all, we pray that your glory will shine through in that service, just as it has through the life of our Queen. We pray for a spiritual awakening in this country, that you will move in people's hearts as they watch the service, and that many will seek you as a result. We pray for our new king and pray blessing on his reign. We thank you for his open commitment to you and pray that you will be his comfort, his guide and his support in the days ahead. Lord, we lift to you all those we know personally who are ill or grieving. We pray particularly for Paul Hartwright, currently in hospital. We ask that you bring health to those who are ill and comfort to those who've lost loved ones. Amen. Now let's join in the words of the prayer our Father taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The reading this morning is taken from John chapter 10 verses 1 to 10 and can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 1076. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let's be still for a moment to come to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this word that Jesus spoke to us of himself, revealing who he is and who you are. We pray, Lord, that you would open your word to our hearts, and our hearts to your word. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So this week and next, we're thinking about God as shepherd, the one who has a single purpose, and that is that his sheep might thrive, might flourish wherever they are. And we want to celebrate the fact that as we worship God today, we do so joined in a fellowship of communion with Christians all over the world, as we celebrate that fact that God is a God who wants all people to thrive, every nation, every race, every type of person to flourish and to live life to the full. And this morning I want to ask how that can happen and what that might look like. How can that happen and how might it look like? Now, I am, where I live, surrounded by farms, and there's plenty of sheep around. And this image is of a sheepfold about 100 yards. I pass it every day when I'm walking the dog, and it's owned by a friend, a person who's become a friend of mine, Winston. I went to see Winston on Thursday, and I said, "Winston, how do you look after your sheep in the sheepfold?" And he said, "Well, I've got a crook that I can give you to illustrate it." Well, so appropriately, it's a golden crook. This is very smart. And I said, "Well, what do you do with this?" Well, he said, "When the sheep are coming into the pen, I get hold of them by the hind leg." This is not for round the neck. It must be very little sheep they did. But I get hold of them by the hind leg, and I can lift them up so they can't move anymore. And then I can inspect them for any disease or any injuries they might have on their skin or on their bones or on their flesh or whatever it might be. And then I can, if they have any injuries, then I can keep them in the pen, and I can spray onto the sheep's injury some antiseptic spray or whatever it might be appropriate, and make sure they're there until they are well enough to go out. And sometimes I've seen the sheep with a little lamb sometimes coming in, and they're in that little pen and enjoying some special food. In that red box there next to the trough is some special delicious food for the sheep to come in. And he said, actually, that's what I use to tempt them in, first of all. And when they have the confidence to come in, I know that that's when I can come and go and help them to stay in the sheepfold. So shepherding today isn't so much different to when it was in Jesus' day. For in Jesus' day, farmers had pens with sheep. Sometimes they were out in the wild like this. Sometimes they were around and back of their houses. Sometimes there were quite a number of different flocks of sheep in there. Sometimes there was just one. And as we heard in that reading, they would come in for safety at night, and they would be able to go out again and find pasture as it was safe. And the shepherd, of course, would call the sheep in. They would recognize his voice. They knew that call, that recognition, was a very personal thing for these sheep. They must have been more intelligent, I think, in those days than sheep are these days. But they were able to respond and come into the sheepfold, and then the shepherd would lead them out when it was safe to an area of fertile land with shady bushes and clean water, and they could enjoy life. So they would come in and they'd go out and they would flourish. And it's this coming in and going out and going out and coming in that I want to focus on this morning. They would come in and go out through a gate. Now, sometimes it was a gate like Dave has illustrated here, but sometimes there was no gate in the sheepfold. It was actually a gate that was a person. It was the shepherd himself. And that's why when Jesus speaks about himself as the gate, he's the one who is making a radical and unequivocal assertion that I am the one who is this gateway to living the way that God has purposed for his people. I am the gate. I'm the one through whom the sheep will pass. And each time the sheep would go through that gate, which was the shepherd, he would use something like this and inspect each one, make sure they were okay, so they could go in or come out and know that they were in the right place. Jesus said in these words in John chapter 10, "Whoever enters by me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." Just want to look at that for a moment, because it's an absolutely central verse, a claim of Jesus that we want to look at in a little bit of detail. Firstly, he says, "whoever." Now, that's a familiar word, as we've been thinking about over these last few weeks. "I am the bread of life," said Jesus. "Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Whoever. Whether you be the queen, or whether you be the person sitting in prison convicted of murder for a life, whoever you might be, you can enter into that gate, through that gate, into life. So this is an incredible statement. It is a universal invitation, and no one is excluded. Whoever enters by me. Notice it's in relationship with this person. It is not through a set of rules, by law keeping. It is not by observing certain rituals. And this was, remember, speaking to the Pharisees of his day. It's not through anything that can be done by us. It is in relationship through Jesus that that gate can be passed through. Whoever enters by me will be saved. Will be saved. Not might be, if you're good enough, but will be. Will be saved. St. John wrote a letter, didn't he, later on? He said, "I write this to you that you may know that you have eternal life." There is a certainty about it. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. And he will be saved. A big word theologically. And I'm not going to say any more than just say it's something around being kept safe in the hand of the Lord, both now and for eternity. A lot more than that, but there we are, the promise of God. Whoever enters by me will be saved. Now this is a scandalous claim. For the Pharisees it would have been outrageous, and for us today it is pretty staggering. It's what the theologians call the scandal of particularity. And I'll leave it for the person focusing on the saying of Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," to look at that in more detail on another week. But I'm going to concentrate on what Jesus says next here in verse 9. He says, "Whoever comes in through me will come in and go out and find pasture." He's talking now not about the sheep. He's talking about people. People who have made that decision to come at life through Jesus. So what might this coming in and going out look like? What aspects of our lives would we think of as coming in and going out? Trying to be practical. So what do you think of when we think about coming in? Well, I think about the need to come in when I feel pretty exhausted. When I need to stop. When I need to hit the pause button. When I'm at a low ebb. When I'm starting to feel depressed. I know I need to slow, to rest, to sleep. I know listening to music can really help, and it's been scientifically shown just in the last few weeks, you know, report to show how therapeutic listening to music can be. To read, maybe, to spend time in the garden, going for a long walk in a beautiful space. Grieving is a form of coming in. It's good to hear the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest." To release tears and to be full of sorrow. King Charles has been charging round the UK last week. He went to England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and then Wales. But before he went to Wales on the Thursday, he had no duties. I don't know whether it was because he was needing to practice his Welsh for his address at the Senate, but I think the plan was for him to have some time to rest, to come in and to grieve. For the funeral tomorrow, the nation will stop and come together. There will be screens across different parts of different cities across Britain, where people will be able to gather together. So we're not just watching it on our own television screens, but gathering together. For grief shared is a powerful thing. Gathering together, coming in, is part of Jesus' invitation, part of an expression of salvation. When we come in to church, or when we come into a home or to a room here in the church for a life group, these are ways of coming in. A place of refuge for us, a place of healing, a place of community, of prayer and worship, where we feed on God's word and experience the inner throb of the life of the Spirit. Taking time to go to that space created on the Wednesday evening once a month at the waiting room. Singing, sometimes overcome with emotion and stop singing. Soon after I started coming to St. Andrew's, I had that feeling of I'd come in, I'd been sort of brought home. And I felt that way. I came in and found renewal and release and restoration and, yes, healing as well, physical healing. I remember sitting there and two people just kneeling down and praying for my ankle. I could hardly walk. It suddenly happened the day before. And a person praying said, she'd never prayed for anybody before. She just said, "I can feel this warmth on your ankle, Joe." And the next day I could walk the dog 2 miles. It was amazing. Healing, like the shepherd, bringing you safely into a place where you can find restoration. God can work amazingly through the gathered church. Our souls are restored when we're gathered together. When we come into the presence of God through the person of Jesus, our life will flourish. For the coming in, there's a breathing in when we take in and receive. But there's also in the rhythm of living life, a breathing out, a going out. They will come in and go out and find pasture. And Jesus leads us into the open, into the out there. And I can recall with supreme clarity, quite a few years ago, my son, when he was a teenager, saying to me, "Dad, you need to get a life." And I really took that to heart because I knew my life was getting smaller and smaller and smaller around church all the time. And I was beginning to think that it was life was about church. Having been a vicar for nearly 40 years, it's a huge temptation. Your world shrinks, surprisingly. Well, it depends on how you live that life as a vicar. But my life had shrunk, and I needed to get out more. And I thought about that very carefully. I needed to be in environments where there was risk, danger, adventure, opportunity, surprise, exhilaration. And I'm beginning to feel that again now, having retired for just over a year. It's very easy for me just to be quite safe within my nice little house with a nice little garden and just playing the odd round of golf and talking to one or two people. And I thought, oh, this is, you know, this is the life, as it's sometimes said. But it's not really the life. I think there's more to life than this. And I think I feel a bit challenged to think, how can I be out there a bit more? How can my life be a bit more as God wants it to be? I don't think I'm going to try things like Monsieur Alain Robert, the French Spider-Man, who has just celebrated his 60th birthday scaling a 48-story building in Paris. I think that's going a bit far. But there may be an opportunity for me to take some of my carefully guarded savings and use them to buy solar panels for our roof. I'm reluctant to do that because it's a bit out there. It's taking my safe money and putting it to use in another way. But it may be part of God's saving plan for the planet, perhaps, do you think? People from this church are doing stuff out there. Think of Tristan here, who was just it's over a week ago, run 64 miles. I don't know how anybody can do that. And has survived and raised £1,100 for Tear Fund. I think of Claire Frederick, who's now on the Camino Way, raising money for MND. I think of people like Roger, who just read the lesson, who's taken up heading of the Blessings Ministry. For Debbie, who is now taking over the work of CAP clients. No idea who she will be and what she will be uncovering next when her next visit. I think of the mission partners who are, for example, Ben and Katie Ray, with people who are marginalised in rural Tunisia. We've heard from George, and think of all the other university, going off to university or wherever they might be going out into a place where there is challenge, where there's opportunity, where there's adventure, where there's risk. But for all of us, as we go on to our front lines and try to live out those six M's that we were thinking about, we are being church out there. We're being church scattered. Wherever God has placed you, whether it be in a cafe or a classroom, a hospital or a nursery, wherever we live, whatever age we are, whatever health we have, we can still find ourselves finding pasture. We can flourish in the life beyond the safety of the pen. Now I think the Spirit may be encouraging me and maybe others here to take time learning to listen, to hear the voice of Jesus calling us to come in or to go out, being confident that he will feed us and lead us into life in all its fullness. I was really struck by those words that Jan had chosen for this morning's service. The combining this coming in and going out. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour. That's the going out, isn't it? And so I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves so we look at Jesus. When oceans rise, when the threats get more, my soul will rest in your embrace. Here's the coming in. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours. And you are mine. Is that breathing in and breathing out through which life enters our lives? I just think God is calling us to ask ourselves again, you know, where is he leading us? Where do we need to be? Where do we need to be able to create some space in our diary or in our calendar on our phone this week and ask the Lord to say, please show me where you would have me be. Do you want me, are you inviting me to come in and rest, or are you inviting me to go out and get involved in more of life out there? Are you, Lord, calling me to be a bit more adventurous? To do the things that I've always sort of put off doing or I've been nervous about trying. Give me courage, Lord, to go for it, we might pray, in the land beyond my boundaries. To live in precarious places, never denying the threats and the dangers, but depending on God who opens up the possibility of new pastures that we would never have found if we'd played it safe and let fear hold us back. So we might spend some time this week thinking about that, but also in the knowledge that, as the Psalm 121 puts it, the Lord will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming in and your going out, both now and forevermore. He is watching over. He is looking at us with love and desire in our hearts, desire for our good and our flourishing. For this God is the God of life, who wants all people to flourish. And we've seen how this can happen as we choose life through Jesus the gate. By learning to hear the voice of Jesus, we will grow into those life-giving rhythms of coming in and going out, and thereby learn to live life in its fullness. For this is what Jesus came to bring. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So I'd like us to have some time to be quiet now and to look at the screen for a moment. You don't have to be the eyes closed, but just to look at the screen for a moment. Because I've thought of 12 words that describe what life in its fullness might include. There's lots of other words, but these all end in the word full. And I'd like us to think and to ponder these. There's going to be a pause between each one. There are 12 of them. And it may be that one or two of them will really resonate with you. And if that happens, then stay with that. And ask the Lord, what are you asking me to enter into more fully in this invitation to life? So let's just look at these words and be open to listening to the voice of Jesus. Lead us, Lord, into that life, we pray, and all through Jesus, the gate, the way to life in all its fullness. Amen. I'm just going to listen for a moment now as the music group sing a beautiful hymn. May we make it our own as we pray.
just for some here will need to hear that invitation to come in and rest. And the word particularly that struck me was that word release. Some actually may need to release tears, to release just what you've been carrying to God this morning, to release grief. But Jesus invites us into a safe place. And for others, we need to hear that invitation to go out, to take risks, to not just live the comfortable life that we might find ourselves in. Just as we sing our last song, I'm going to invite you to continue to reflect. You might want to stand and sing. You might want to just sit and pray. You might want to come to the front, and just there'll be others who will come and be able to pray with you, to join with you in that place of coming in or that place of going out. But just allow Jesus to continue to invite you in or invite you out, invite you through that gate to find life in all its fullness.
I was just thinking about that picture that Joe showed of the shepherd sitting across the gate, and this might just be for me, but if this is for anybody here, just a sense of there's somebody here or some people here who are frustrated that they are not able to go out at this time, but it felt like Jesus was... it felt like you were looking out beyond the gate and just were just really frustrated to be in the pen. But actually this is a time for you to be in the pen and to kind of turn back around, because the shepherd is there to hem you in at this time for a reason, whatever that is, whether that's healing or discipline or encouragement, whatever it is. But if you sense that you're just frustrated, the invitation is to turn around and to come into the pen and receive what you need at this time to be restored. So if that is you or anybody here, there'll be people here to pray.
If that's resonated with you, then please do come for prayer, or just if anything else, you know, we're going to say a blessing now and there's a chance to get the coffee, but the band are going to keep praying. There's going to be people here at the front who would really like to pray with you, but do come if you would like to. But a final blessing, let's say these words as we just hear Jesus call to go out from here now. From here to a world in need, send us out for your glory. To live what we've sung out, send us out for your glory. To homes, jobs, communities, send us out for your glory. To live the adventure with you, send us out for your glory. And may Christ the Good Shepherd enfold you with love. May he fill you with peace and lead you in hope to the end of your days. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.